I'm Honest Rod, Rodney Broom, and you're listening to What's on Fight on the Trending Topics Network.
Welcome, fight fans, to What's on Fight, the podcast that randomly reviews all the great combat sports, wrestling, MMA, boxing, and shows provided by the Fight TV app. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and I have a co-host. He is the one and only Finn Fish. Finn, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. A lot of great wrestling out there I've been catching up on the Fight app and everything. So, yeah, another early one for me, but it's...
Like I joke all the time, you being in Vegas, there is no such thing as AM on the clock. But anyways, we have a special episode. We are going to start renaming these episodes to, instead of What's on Fight, Who's on Fight. That's when we have an interview. And we have today Rocky Mountain Pro star, current tag team champion, Curtis Cole. Curtis, how you doing?
I'm awesome, dude. How are you?
Great, great. It's a wonderful day in Colorado, but we may get some snow and rain here in the next couple days, but we got to enjoy it when we can, can't we?
Yeah, it sucks. I think I'm actually allergic to snow, which is unfortunate, but I don't know.
So, Curtis, let's get started at the beginning. How did you get involved in professional wrestling? What were your influences maybe growing up and things of that nature?
So originally my roommate bought a DVD called Legends of the 80s. And we watched it together and just had a bunch of beers. And it reminded me that wrestling's like the coolest thing in the world. I hadn't watched it for like 15 years. I grew up during the Attitude Era like a lot of other people. So I have really fond memories of it. And then I just kind of grew out of it. So I watched this DVD and I was like, holy crap. Like, this is awesome. So I'm a massage therapist also. So I found a wrestling outfit here in Denver called Primos. And I asked if I could be their massage therapist. Just to be a part of it. You know, like, just being there. You guys know what that's like. When you're someplace and you see the ring, and you hear music and see wrestlers, like, it's just awesome. So I was back there massaging people. It was kind of awkward. Then I watched some of the matches, and I was like, I think I could probably do this. So I started looking around for schools, found a couple, but I wasn't sold on it. Like, they didn't have the passion that I wanted. Then one night I'm sitting at a bar, this girl I used to date brought a flyer in, and she said, hey, somebody at work left this here. And it was a flyer for Milestone 5 for NRW, which is Rocky Mountain Pro. I called him right away, and Matt Yaden picked up the phone. And I was like, hey, I'd like to check out your school. And he was like, well, can you come down here right now? I'm kind of busy. I was like, okay. So I just walked in. And you've seen Matt. I mean, you've had him on your show, I think, like, what, last week or something?
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, his... What's that?
I said a couple weeks ago, I think. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But no, we had him on recently. Yeah,
you know, like, his voice, like, you know, his big ponytail, his big-ass frame, like, it just screams wrestler. And the second I saw it, I was like, oh, I'm sold. So I joined the next day, and it's just been pretty much my life ever since.
So that was probably about a year and a half ago or so?
Oh, yeah, my bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was late August of 2015. So, yeah, like exactly a year and a half ago, pretty much.
Are you sure you just weren't drunk when you were watching that DVD?
Oh, dude, I was definitely drunk. Oh, it was awesome, dude, watching like stuff about Arn Anderson and all this stuff. Like, I got hammered, probably. But it's awesome. There's nothing better than drinking beer and watching wrestling with your friends. Like, I can't think of a cooler thing to do besides playing video games, maybe. That's about it.
Oh, that is true. You say you play video games. Did you play any wrestling video games?
Oh, yeah. Growing up. Oh, man. Like, the Nintendo 64 had, like, the best wrestling games ever. Revenge is what got me started. You guys remember that game, WCW Revenge?
Yeah,
yeah.
So good. But, yeah, I used to play tons of wrestling games like No Mercy and Revenge and WrestleMania 2000 and all that stuff. The games before it were a little hard, like on the Super Nintendo. Like I'm kind of stupid when I play games. Like things don't make sense to me that make sense to normal people. So I couldn't wrap my head around those other ones, but yeah, the 64 is where it's at, man. It's awesome.
Well, and, you know, speaking of video games, you've incorporated that into your character on Charged and not so much Ignition, because there's not Ignition kind of more of the matches, but Charged. So how is that? Is that a lot of you doing that, or hey, I'd like to do this? How can we do this in the episodes of Charged?
Oh, yeah, dude, that was a godsend. So at first when I started, I was like this metal guy, like a metalhead. And I was paired with this girl who wrestled at this time who had the same gimmick. And then she quit and I became this skateboarder because I've been a skateboarder my whole life. That didn't work. I was stiff. I was uninteresting. And Matt Yaden and I like to hang out and play video games together. So we shot this one promo when I couldn't get things right. And he and Vince Russo were just like, just talk about what makes you happy or whatever. Just normal stuff. And Matt was guiding me through it. And he brought up video games, and I just opened up. And then ever since then, it was like, oh, shit, I can do this now. Like, oh, excuse me for cussing, sorry.
No, it's okay. We have the explicit tag on our podcast, so it's definitely fine.
I appreciate it. Thank you. But, yeah, it's nice, like, when you're trying to come up with a wrestling character, like, the more comfortable, you know, you guys know, you've seen a ton of wrestling. If the person's not comfortable, you can kind of tell. And I just fell into it. Like, I started having fun with my character now. Like, just talking about beer and video games. Like, and plus, you know, a lot of people, wrestling fans are in their 30s, like late 20s. And so we all grew up on the same crap. Like, so if anything, I'm just ringing like a nostalgic bell for people.
Oh, definitely.
What's the inspiration for your look? Because you have a traditional ring attire and there's an untraditional ring, just dress.
Yeah, I look like a homeless person. My hair, I grew it out and it just dreaded itself. I'm half black, so it just like it just dreaded itself. I washed it and everything, but when I would go to sleep, it would mat together, so I just let it do its thing. The sideburns I grew out because I needed a good wrestling look. Because, you know, I'm a small guy, so people aren't going to take me serious unless I look like an idiot. Like, I remember thinking DDP was the most interesting person I had ever seen in my life because his hair looked like ramen noodles. He had, like, a ramen noodle mullet. Like, and that stuck with me. And I was like, okay, I need some long hair and some stupid facial hair, maybe. And then the tights, actually, dude, I didn't realize how much it looked like Scott Hall's in NWO. So the tights, though, I just kind of just came up with that when I was doodling around on my break at work. And I was like, oh, that works. I need to wear pants because my legs are not the biggest either. So I don't know. That was just a stupid doodle I came up with. I wish I had a better answer.
No, that's perfectly fine. Concerning your look, I just keep the only thing I can really think of is Titus Machiavelli just keep on teasing you that you look like Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons.
Oh, my goodness. What a dick. Yeah, dude, he did that for months. That's okay, though. I'll get him back.
Yeah.
He looks like a big potato with legs, arms. So that's okay.
You said, as you cut your promos, you get in that comfort zone of, you know, video games and stuff like that. What else inspires you to cut your wacky promos? I've seen a couple of yours.
Oh, boy. When I started wrestling, my friends and I, we would get hammered. And just, like, I would always act like a wrestler. Because, you know, I watched it constantly. So I would always just start screaming and throwing my arms around. So that's why, I don't know if you ever saw any of the ones I did for Twitter. Like, there's, you know, I'm smashing video games and dumping beer everywhere and yelling and screaming. Like, I don't know, I have to catch people's eyes somehow. And I actually am not confident playing a tough guy. So, like, if I point the camera and talk about how I'm going to beat somebody's ass this Saturday night. Like, it's just not, like, I don't say that. That's not me, so it sounds awkward. So instead, I just try to have fun with it instead of, like, forcing it. I don't know. Because, you know, again, I'm not a big guy, so nobody's going to believe it if I say I'm going to roll up my sleeves and beat up Mario Vanger next week. Like, that's, I don't believe it either.
Yeah, I get that. And you say you're not a big guy or anything like that. Do you like that you're not a big guy? Do you want to be bigger? You want to work out more, or is it just how it fits you? You feel comfortable?
That's a really good way to put it. Thank you. So I actually am super comfortable like this, but I know that to take further steps in wrestling, I need to get bigger. I drink mass gainer constantly, and I do go to the gym quite a bit, but I work full time and I just had a son recently, so it's kind of on a hiatus. Not a hiatus, just it's not as much as I would like. But ultimately it comes down to discipline, which I am just terrible at. Sometimes in life I feel super overwhelmed with like having a kid and trying to have a normal life and the wrestling thing and training at the school and helping to teach kids class and all this stuff. Then eventually you get home at the end of the day and you're just like, damn, I just want a beer. I just want to play Mega Man and drink a beer. That's it. That sucks.
Well, that was one thing I was going to ask about. I did notice that you are teaching the kids classes at the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy. How is that? Is that fun? I mean, what's your take?
Oh, I love it so much. When I first did it, Matt was, he's always taught the classes, and he just needed somebody to fill in for that day. He was busy. So I said, I'd do it, and I did it, and I had a lot of fun, and it made me feel, like I was giving back to the school. It's one of the most important places in my life. I love being there. I love everybody that's there. So when I started getting trained with the kids, I realized that through training them, I'm getting better myself because I'm speaking about it and I'm reciting the things that have been said to me over and over. So now, I mean, did I work with the kids like one-on-one sometimes, and we'll have like 45-minute matches and start working on some of their moves that they're gonna do in the ring, and, you know, working on their personalities and stuff. And the parents love it because their kids getting like really good attention from somebody that actually like gives a damn. So it's awesome. Like every Wednesday and Thursday, I show up early, set the ring up, turn on some music, just wrestle with the kids for a while, and then, you know, train at night with the newer students as well. And it's so cool. Like, I get to work at a wrestling school. That's awesome.
Yeah. You look like you have a lot of fun on Facebook. I've seen all the pictures I see though is all the kids have you in headlocks. And it's just,
right?
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on there, but everybody looks like they're having a lot of fun in those classes.
Hey, I'm glad it's perceived that way. Thank you very much. Sometimes I get worried that, you know, people look at it and just shrug it off like, oh, whatever. But if it looks like we're having fun, then, I mean, that's all that matters to me. I love those kids so much.
When you're teaching the kids, when in Pacific are you teaching them about wrestling? I know you're not, like, teaching them, like, sharpshooters or figure fours, but, or, you know, 450s, but what do you work on with them as in moves?
That's funny. Actually, one of the girls, Izzy, her finisher is now a figure four. Like, we just came up with that. It's funny you said that. So if they're newer, we just go over, like, basic stuff, like spacing and just good cardio and learning how to hit the ropes, because the ropes hurt your back really bad when you start wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And then once they get more comfortable, you start to work with them and get them to have some style in some of their moves. And then now there's three kids where I just work on, like, their character with them. Like, oh, well, you know, so Izzy, for example, she's been there for like a year and a half now. And the girl reminds me so much of Charlotte Flair. That's why she's got the figure four. She looks like her. She acts like her. She's mean. So we just, like, we went over chair shots last week. Like, I was like, you're going to need these, so let's get them going. So it literally is just catered to each kid. We have a new kid that just started 2 weeks ago, so we're doing nothing fun. All, you know how, like, when you start something, it's not fun because you have to learn all the basics.
Yeah.
Like, so that's where that kid, that kid's there. And now Izzy's over here doing baseball slides and like second rope crossbodies and stuff like that. So it's just paired with each one of them.
Fun. And they practice these moves on you when they do a second rope crossbody?
Yeah. absolutely, yeah. So I have them wrestle together a lot. You know, they give each other suplexes. They have some good strikes. They're punching each other in the face. It's fun. There's nothing like pretending to punch a kid in the face while their parents are watching and then having them punch other kids in the face. And it's awesome. I love it. I love it as much as my own personal training.
Oh, wow. I thought it was, you know, how old are these kids? I'm thinking they're like very young since you're saying like kids. But what's the range?
So the youngest that I've trained is 4, and then the oldest is 11. Oh. No, I'm sorry. The oldest is 13. We just got a new kid.
Okay, I mean, wow, that's really amazing to me that they're, you know, teaching them all this, wrestling stuff.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's pretty cool. I thought they were a little bit, as much stuff as you're saying, I thought they were at least a little older than that, but that's pretty cool.
Thanks. Yeah. So there was one kid named Kevin Solis, and he was in the class. He's 15 now, but when he started, I think he was like 13, and he was just so good. We just moved him to the adult classes, and now you know he keeps up with everybody there. Like we just take it really serious. It's like when we're there, it's like we're there to work. So everybody starts advancing and vibing off each other real well, and it's just like, I don't know, it works out really, really well.
Okay. You speak about a lot of beer, and being in Denver, I know they got the best beer. What is your favorite drink out there? What's your favorite beer?
I don't. Are you gonna judge me?
Nah. I mean, I drink a lot.
Don't judge.
No.
Dude, my favorite beer on the planet is Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh man, I'm sorry, man. I had to judge you, dude. Oh my god.
No, you're just.
I cannot stand.
Oh, dude, it's so good. I'm from Pennsylvania, and you know, I grew up drinking Yingling, but PBR, dude, you can drink 100 of them, you won't get too hammered. Like, I just love drinking beer.
Yeah.
All of that. I've been to the Great American Beer Festival for the past 2 years in a row, and I regretted it both times. I don't know why I keep going back. Like, it's so strong, and it roughs you up. You can have 4, and then you're drunk. I actually hate being drunk. I just like drinking. It's weird.
Well, then that's why you do the PBR.
Right? See, exactly, dude. That's exactly it. Like, I can drink 30 of these things. Nothing's going to happen.
Oh, my God. Anything. Oh, my. Well, I understand the area, okay. The area you grew up in. It's a little bit more
acceptable. All right, tough guy. What about you? Both of you guys. Let's hear it.
Oh.
I'm really partial to the Blue Moon. I like a Blue Moon.
Yeah, actually, I do like Blue Moon. I like Blue Moon a lot. I never had one before I moved here, and when I moved here, I drank it straight for a year. Stuff's awesome, absolutely. What about you, Fourth Railway? Do you drink beer at all?
I don't drink at all, actually. I'm nice. Sadly going to disappoint everybody, but I am...
No.
Unfortunately, I just haven't found anything I like, I guess. But unfortunately, Mario's probably going to kill me, but I'm a big soda drinker, so.
That's fine. That's fine. Hey, you're going to be at my funeral anyway, so that's completely fine. You're like, yeah, I told him. You drank too much beer. That's what happened.
I would drink Pabst Blue Ribbon and not drink beer at all. Jeez.
Oh, what? Wait, you said you would rather?
Yeah, I'd rather drink Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Okay. Than okay. I misunderstood you.
Well, and, you know, speaking of Mario and other wrestlers, what are your favorite people to opponents to go in the ring against and to team up with? I know currently you're teamed up with Humphrey Jacobs the First, and you guys are the tag team champions. But what are your guys? What are your favorite opponents to contend in the ring with?
Oh, dude, it's Anaya. It's always going to be Anaya. Anaya and Mario. I fought Anaya like 900 times in the past year. Like, the guy, he's just the best. Like, he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's the best wrestler in Denver, like, by a large margin. Nobody can really touch that guy. He understands it so well. And everything he says is correct. Like, it's right. Like, you don't question him. Mario is awesome. He's down for whatever. It's a plane going over. I'm sure you saw his last few matches. That dude's doing backflips. That guy shouldn't be doing backflips, but he's doing them. Like, and he's just, you know, he's open to everything. It's funny, he's kind of the opposite of Anaya. Like, Anaya's very open to stuff, but he also knows what he's doing, so, like, I just shut up, you know? Whereas Mario's, you know, he's like real, like, oh, what do you want to do? What do you want to do, Curtis? Like, I'm going to do this, you should jump off the top rope on top of me, that'd be good, and I'll do the backflip. You do your thing, I'll do mine. Let's do it. And he's the most positive person on the planet. Like, his motto recently at every show is like, you know, if you think positive, good things will happen to you. Like, it's just all the time. Like, it's a pleasure to be around. Like, you want to be around that kind of person, like, backstage. Not somebody that's kind of, like, got their head up their ass or, you know, being a jerk or whatever. And teaming up, dude, I love working with Humphrey. That guy and I, when he started, I was, like, 6 months in. And he only trained with, like, me and Matt for a little bit. So he and I became pretty good friends. And he's so dedicated to, like, his character and everything. And he knows what he wants. Like, he knows that he's not going to do a springboard frog splash or whatever. He's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go to a Garvin stomp, figure four, and I'll probably just punch you in the face a bunch, you know? Like, it's so easy. He knows what he wants. He knows what he wants to look like. He knows his character better than probably anybody at Rocky Mountain Pro.
No kidding.
So
yeah.
It's just good to be around.
And, I see one of your promos you got cut. I think it was like episode 2. You said your friend erased your, a Call of Duty score or, you know, deleted your save
account. Resident Evil 5.
Resident Evil 5. Did that really happen to you? Because I feel bad, man.
Promo. Ah. Thanks. I appreciate it. Before that promo, they were like, just say whatever you're thinking. And I got there, and I was fucking furious about it still. Like, it had happened the night before. So my roommate, James, he's my best friend. He and I love playing co-op games. You know, like, sit on the couch together. Let's beat this game. And we were playing Resident Evil 5 because it's one of the best co-op games I've ever played. And, you know, we had a bunch of stuff upgraded. We spent a lot of time, whatever. And then we turned it on, and it was just a big fuck you from the PlayStation. So when they said, talk about whatever you want, I was like, there's only one thing I can think about right now. It's not that we're doing episode 1 of season 1 of this show that we're ambitious about. It's about all the fucking hard work that I've been putting on Resident Evil is fucking gone.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, I see why you're unfocused. Or, you know, I see what's going on.
Thank you.
I feel you, man. It happened to me before.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, I was going to say, that's another one of those things that, like, at some point, that's going to happen to somebody that plays video games. Like, your memory card broke, it got thrown out, the system just malfunctioned, it doesn't, like, the save file just doesn't exist. And it's funny, because you shouldn't be mad about it, but it's one of the, like, few things in life that you can just sit down and do and enjoy and not have to give a shit about anything else. And when that hard work is gone, then it's like, ah, fuck everything. Never mind, there's no point to life.
Yeah, then during that same promo, you throw your sunglasses on the ground, and you break them. And you're like, I just bought those.
I bought those on my way there. I stopped at H&M, spent $10 on them, and then threw them without even thinking. Like, that Curtis character, man, that's how I am in real life. Like, I'm just, like, I'm fucking stupid. Like, so it's really easy to play that guy.
Yeah, and you just put, again, I paid for him, and you put him back on, I couldn't stop laughing. Like, oh, this guy is...
Thank you, that's awesome.
So,
Oh, sorry, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead, Curtis.
I was just going to ask real quick, how long have you guys watched wrestling?
I have ever since I was really young. So I grew up with the WWF, WWF Superstars. You know, I remember when Saturday Night Main Event premiered, and that was amazing being a young Mr. Fourth Row, that, you know, with King Kong Bundy and Hulk Hogan. So, and then, you know, in high school, I kind of grew out of it a little bit, got more focused into watching baseball, and, you know, my favorite baseball team, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, is the Chicago Cubs because of WGN and cable. So I got more involved in that, and then I came back right along the Attitude Era when Sting and Hogan were going at it in WCW. And that's what kind of brought me back in.
Yeah, I started as a very young age as well. But me being born and raised in Las Vegas, we didn't get all the big stuff. We got all the, you know, little crappy wrestling that's on the, you know, the Sunday night's main event, where you got a bunch of job matches. So
yeah,
so I'm a big mid-card fan. I like the mid-card a lot. And then just then WrestleMania came to Las Vegas, WrestleMania 9, and that's when I just went full force into really trying to seek it out and find it and really get into it. And I've been a wrestling fan. I never wavered. I always watched it, even if it was, you know, Independence, or it wasn't called Independence back then, but, you know, ECW and WCW. So I really dove deep, you know, into the stuff that's really awesome. I could watch on just regular TV, because, you know, we didn't start getting cable until later in life.
That's awesome. Yeah, dude, I was a big mid-card guy also. Growing up, man, I thought Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels were the two greatest fucking people on the planet. Like, nobody can do, like, they can't do wrong. That's awesome. I cut you off. I asked you a question. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's actually the first time I think that we've actually had a question posed to us. So that was pretty cool. So it was a little unexpected, but we got through it. So what I was going to ask is some of the couple fun things that you and I have had connections with. And one was it kind of a shock or what when Matt came to you a couple months ago and said, "Oh, you know, we have a birthday party in the house, and Artie requested that you come and sing happy birthday to him at the RMP shows." For everybody to know, we've mentioned this on the episode before, at the Quarry, that you can have a birthday party and you get choose one wrestler to come sing happy birthday to you. This particular day, there was actually two birthdays in the house. So the other guy chose Mario, and then I chose Curtis. So what was your initial impression? You're like, really? Somebody chose me or what?
Dude, that's funny. You're making me smile, right? That's actually exactly what I said. They were like, hey, because we had never done that birthday thing before, at least since I've been with the company. And they were like, hey, Fourth Row wants you to, like, you're going to go sing happy birthday to him. And I remember looking at, I think it was Titus that told me, I can't remember. And I was like, why? Like, why did he pick me? There's 40 other people in this backstage area that he picked. Like, he could have picked me. Like, at first I thought they just picked me because I was like a baby face. And then they told me you picked me. And I was like, why did he do that? It's severely fucking flattering. Like, I went home with a smile on my face. Like, that actually probably, I mean, that I'm sure that meant more to me than it did to you. Like, that was very fucking flattering. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, and then you and Mario, of course, had to ad-lib something in the ring, like, right away. And that was so great. I mean, you guys try, you just the way you guys, oh, we're not in sync right away, you know, and who's gonna sing to who?
It's cause it's his stupid Austrian brain can't, dude, he can't sing happy birthday without, like, screwing it up. What did he say? Like, I was singing happy birthday and he was calling it, like, happy day of birth.
Day of birth, yeah.
Like, something super literal. That guy's an idiot. I love him so much.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, yeah, you picked, you know, he showed the pictures, like, you could have picked Ali Gato or someone else. I mean,
right?
But, you know, he,
no.
But he picks you, so.
Yeah, I appreciated it. I appreciated it. Yeah, but yeah, I would have picked one of the girls, you know, at least, you know, like stare at their butts or something. I don't know. But I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That was fun. And like I said to like all my friends, it's like, how many times you're gonna, in your life are you going to be able to be inside of a wrestling ring, number one, and have happy birthday be sung to you, number two? Like, how many times is that ever going to happen?
Oh, so here, let me ask you a question. Did the ring feel different or than you thought, or did it feel like you thought it probably would?
I think it was pretty much, it was like I thought it was going to be. I was, a little nervous because I am actually, believe it or not, I'm actually kind of a fairly shy person. So I was a little nervous being the focus of attention during intermission. But, I got through it and I got to hold your belt. That was awesome. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was fun, man. That definitely meant a lot. Stuff like that, dude, that makes wrestling so worth it. Like, I don't know. Wrestling is such a weird fucking thing. Like, there's nothing else like it. And to just be able to do stuff like that and like actually make friends and connect with people. Like if I saw you somewhere, I would literally go out of my way to be like, oh, holy shit, what are you doing here? Whatever, you know, like not just like, oh, that's some guy that comes to our shows, whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like I genuinely, whenever I see you, I'm like, oh. I remember I had met you once. And then we had another show. And I went up and I was like, hey, what's up, man? What's your name? And you were like, it's Mr. Fourth Row. And I was like, oh, dude, I felt so bad. I was like, holy shit, I totally remember meeting him. And like, I just didn't think. And I was like devastated by that. I felt so fucking bad.
Maybe because he wasn't in the fourth row, it threw you off, maybe, you know?
Right? Yeah, dude, yeah. No, it was the first time I met him, it was like right after a match. I just got shit kicked out of me, probably, and I just yeah, right? I know, right, dude? Just meeting a lot of people once you don't remember everybody's name, like super fast. And I just, it just slipped, and I just felt like the biggest asshole on the planet.
No offense taken. I didn't even think that. So yeah. So the second question I have to ask is, and I think I'm gonna guess that I'm the one that influenced you to do this quote unquote move, and that's the hair tie or hair rubber bands and shooting them at your opponents before the match starts. How fun is that? And what do you think some of the looks your opponents give you when they get hit in the chest with a rubber band?
You saying that what's funny is some people told me to stop doing that. And I used you as a reference, and I was like, no, he said he liked it. And so if he likes it, that means other people probably like it. So fuck you, I'm going to keep doing it. So I appreciate that. I totally used you as like a justification to like be able to keep doing that. The first time I did it, I just, it actually was just, it just aired, that fight with me and Steven Ashburn where I lost the charge title. He was posing or something and I was like, oh, I'm going to shoot this fucker in the face. cause I didn't know what to do. Cause like whenever, like, right before the match starts and you're both in the ring, it's kind of awkward. And you're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to put the attention on me or, like, should I pose or what? And I just panicked and I was like, fuck it. Boom. And yeah, I heard people laugh and I was like, okay.
That's why I liked it. That's why I suggested it. I was like, yeah, you can, you know, have a little fun before the match starts.
Yeah. No, and that's perfect. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Like, it literally is, like, a perfect buffer of, like, not too much attention, but also I hope he does it. So, dude, and what's funny is I was watching a match the other day, and it was a Razor Ramon match, and he fucking threw his toothpick in the guy's face, and I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. Like, because I'm such a Razor like mark,
right?
Like, I didn't even put it together that like I'm doing the same thing that guy's doing now. I was like, yeah, that one's fucking safe.
Exactly. Stay with the classics. They work.
Absolutely. Dude, it's a classic for a reason. Absolutely.
And what else are you looking for out of wrestling? Have you got any tryouts anywhere else? Do you wrestle anywhere else? Where are you going? What's going on with you?
Right? Yeah, I know. That's a good question. So when I found out that my son was going to be born this past summer, I kind of told myself I'm not going to go out too much or at all. I didn't go out at all. Not out of laziness, but out of I need to probably be home. And he's 10 weeks old now, and I told his mom, like, you know, I'm going to start traveling soon. I really want to go do one of those Ring of Honor tryouts. A big thing is, so when I originally became a wrestler, I just wanted to do this just to say I did it. I had no problem wrestling at a bingo hall in front of 25 people, you know? Like, I just wanted to do it. I'm only 33 in 2 weeks. Like, I just wanted to just get it out of my system. But then it started taking off. And everything's been working. And, then the WWE thing happened and holy shit, that just changed fucking everything, like my whole outlook. So now I'm pretty soon I'm going to be traveling quite a bit. I just want to just wrestle. I follow Bob Evans very much. Do you guys know who he is?
Oh yeah.
Bob Evans.
Yeah. I met him when he was tweeting, came to the show.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. He's a super nice guy. He's like a wrestling pastor. Like, he gets on Facebook 4 times a day and preaches, like, wrestling gospel about doing drives and doing hard work, and working together and loving each other and peace and all that stuff. And when you read it, you're just like, well, fuck, I'm a part of this. Like, I should just be doing the shit this guy's telling me to. So yeah, I'm going to be traveling quite a bit. As far as my end goal, I've already reached it, my original end goal, which was just finish school, become a wrestler, have a moment that I really enjoyed, and then that's it. And then it just kept going. My moment that I enjoyed, the most important wrestling moment ever to me, was Milestone 6 when I won my first title. Like, that was such a fucking, like, it was the most amazing night of my life. Like, even more than when I fought Braun Strowman. Like when I got handed the belt, I remember thinking, oh, well, this is it. Like, I did it. And now it just keeps going and it's not stopping and I'm getting more passionate about it every single time when I wake up. Like in the morning, I'm thinking about wrestling. So fuck, I'm kind of in the dark now. Like I don't know what I'm supposed to do except just keep going.
Can you speak more about your WWE experience? How was that? How did the process work and all that?
Oh goodness fucking gracious, brother. That was the scariest thing ever. Matt Yaden called me. And he was like, hey, so are you actually half black? Or what is that? I was like, yes, sir. And he was like, okay, because I'm filling out a form for WWE extras, and I'm sending you. And I was like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Like, you know, my heart's pounding. Extras never get used. Unless it's something like you're a hooded figure. Like everybody that got used there besides me was like a hooded, cloaked figure for Bray Wyatt. Like, that's how extras get used.
Yeah.
But I knew what was happening in WWE at the time, and I shit my pants the second he said it, because I was like, fucking great, dude. How much do you want to bet Braun Strowman shoves me up his ass? Like, and so we all get there, we all meet in the parking lot. It's cool, because I met a couple of other local wrestlers that I hadn't, but I knew who they were, and we all kind of grouped together. And it was funny, on the second day, actually, to get sidetracked, that was when Ellsworth was, like, still brand new when he was fighting AJ Styles.
Yeah.
So, the second day, we got to the fucking arena, and we opened up the jobber room, and fucking Ellsworth is in there with no shirt on. And he's just like, hey, y'all. And we were like, what's up, dude? And he was like, do any of you have a shirt I could borrow? And we were like, you're James fucking Ellsworth, dude. Like, are you serious? But anyway, we got there, we all got our doctor's physicals, and then Arn Anderson came up to us and said, hey, we're looking for 3 people to fight Braun tonight. Why don't you all get suited up so I can see what you look like? And I remember I turned and looked at my, I turned my head, and Anaya and Humphrey Jacobs looked at me, and they were like, "You're gonna die!" Like they were like,
"Oh no!"
So we all got suited up, walked out in the middle of Pepsi Center, walked out to the ring, or on the side of the ring, and Arn Anderson walked up to me first. I saw him walking towards me, and I was like, "Don't you fucking do it!" Like, because in my head, I wanted to fight him. I want to be on Raw, but also. Fuck that, that's scary.
Yeah.
So he walks up and he just stops and looks at me. And he's just like, "Boy, you look like an 8 foot tall caveman. There's no way I'm not putting you on TV tonight." And I was like, "You motherfucker, are you serious?" Like, I was so excited I didn't say that. I have nothing but respect for Arn. But so he picked us, you know, he picked me and Tyler and another guy named Johnny Pantoja. And JBL and Arn Anderson booked the match. So they had the three of us and Braun standing there and they talked to us, you know, like, what's going to happen? He was like, "It's going to get physical, but everybody's going to be safe, all right?" He kept saying that like three times.
A little foreshadowing there.
Yeah, right? Like, how funny is that? So then when we went in the back, what's funny is actually they made us go over the lines on the microphone more than the actual match. Like, we talked to Braun about the match once. But then we rehearsed our lines 9 fucking times with this guy backstage. And we went out and it's funny, to be an extra, you need to have a blood test to, you know, just say that you're clean. And I threw a fucking fit about it for weeks. $90. I don't want to fucking pay this. Like, why do I need a blood test to be a fucking extra at all? And get fucking a minute and 18 seconds into the match. I fucking laying in a pool of blood. And I remember thinking, like, how funny it was that I threw this fit for weeks about getting a blood test. And I'm pretty sure I just splashed, like, 8 fans with blood, like, from the back of my head.
So you got busted open hard way, huh?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So there was a spot where he picked me up, and he's going to ram me into the turnbuckle. He picked me up pretty high, and he ran 400 miles an hour. but ultimately, I didn't tuck my chin into the turnbuckle. I just stayed loose because I was trying to sell. We hit it, and my head flew back and bounced off that big fucking post, and it put a big dent in the back of my head, and... The ref, John Cone, bent down and he said, "Get the fuck out of the ring." And I got out of the ring and I just lay there and bled on the floor. That's why I just disappeared in the middle of the match. I was just laying there just trying not to die. And then they took me in the back and stapled me shut and smacked me on the ass and told me to get a shower. And it was cool because, like, people came and check on me. Like Gold Dust came back to check on me and, like Chris Jericho and Sami Zayn came back and said, "Thank you for what you did out there." I was like, "You're Sami fucking Zayn. Thank you." Like, but they were all so nice. Everybody backstage at WWE, like, they just want you to feel welcome and at home. Like, for that day, like, I'm not a wrestling fan. Like, I'm a coworker with them. And it was just the most pleasant atmosphere, like, ever. I didn't expect it. Like, I think, and this is funny saying this right now, one of the people that was the most nice to me, guess who it was?
Yeah, I guess you're gonna fucking say JB.
yes. It's ironic, right? That guy's going through all this bullying shit, but he was nothing but like a very pleasant person to us for like 45 minutes.
Well, that's very cool. And you know, too, this was also fairly early in Strowman's current push where he's at. So you can say, you know, I helped get him those first couple steps to where he's at now.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's true. Thank you. It feels weird being a part of it. It's funny. I try not to let it, like, go to my head. It's just nice. Like, the second you step in the ring, it's like, holy shit, I'm here. Like, this is it. Like, this is the most famous wrestling ring that's ever existed. And for, like, a little bit, like, coming out of the ramp, walking down it, getting in the ring, like, nothing else is happening in WWE on the planet except for me being in this ring right now.
Yeah.
Weird feeling, definitely.
How many times have you watched that match over again?
I don't know, maybe 10,000, 11,000, something like that. It's got 1.3 million views on YouTube, and I think I might be about 400,000 of them. I don't know.
That's cool. Well, you know, and speaking of viewing, now that Rocky Mountain Pro is on Fight TV, besides RMP, what other promotions do you get a chance to watch and enjoy on the Fight TV app?
Boy, actually, oh my goodness. So I am such a bastard for this. Actually, I haven't used it very much. I've explored it pretty well. But as far as staying super hooked to everything, not much, because when we joined the Fight app, it was like right when my son was born. Or no, it was like a little bit before. So actually, as far as wrestling in general, like paying attention to anything, like I'm in the dark on all of it right now. And that's just solely because I'm either in my own ring, I'm at work, or I have my kid, and that's it.
Well, that's certainly understandable.
So yeah, I feel like a bastard for that answer, because I know that you guys push it so hard, and you're doing an awesome job with it. I haven't gotten hooked on anything yet. I'm sorry.
Well, I would say you probably, if I had to plug, you might want to check out the Rocky Mountain Pro's United Wrestling Network partners, like Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and those companies, you know. So, you know, just check every once in a while, maybe. So, if you got some downside.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I had no clue how hard being a dad is. So, in my head, I was like, oh, it'll be fine, dude. I'll just watch a shitload of wrestling and sit on the couch with my son. Like, no, that's not really how that works. So I'm in the dark on everything right now. Sorry. Like, I don't even know who the current WWE champions are, let alone, like, the only champions I definitely know for right now are, like, Rocky Mountain Pros.
Yeah, I understand. I know what you mean by being a dad. You're like, are you asleep? You're sleeping too much? Are you even, you know, are you awake? Are you... It's a constant worry.
Oh my goodness, I did that earlier this morning. I was looking at him and I was like, are you dead? I think he's dead. Like, you gotta poke him, make sure he moves.
Yeah, but you don't want to wake up. You're like, oh no, go back to sleep, it's cool. Just double checking if you're still there.
No, you nailed him. Like, you know, you see his eyes start to open and you're just like, don't do it. Don't you wake up. Like, it's pretty funny. How many kids do you have?
I have 3 kids.
Nice, that's awesome. Congrats. How old are they?
My daughter, she is, she'll be 10 coming up. My son is 8, and I just had a newborn kid. About the same age as your son.
Nice, congrats. Yeah, yeah. Terrifying, definitely. But wait, fourth row, do you have any kids?
No, I just have a niece and a nephew, so, and... They're in their, 14 and 10, so they're like at the fun age to be like, hey, what do you guys want to go do? I get to be the fun uncle, so.
Oh, dude, I was the fun uncle for years. That was the best. The fun uncle's like the best thing ever. Like, as much responsibility as I want. After that, I'm fine.
Yeah. It's like, oh, time's up.
Yep. That's horrible, but it's like the best way to put it.
hopefully my sister's not listening to this.
Right?
But, when you didn't have a chance to catch up on any wrestling, what did you watch before? Like, before your son and all that?
Oh my goodness, I'm such a bastard for this. I have, if you tell me something's good, I will not watch it. If you tell me to play something good, I won't play it. So, I thought New Japan Pro Wrestling was a fad. And I thought that it was like a flavor of the month thing. And then that Okada Omega match happened in like January, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I resisted it, and I watched a little bit of it, and I was like, okay, whatever. And then one night I was sitting here on my couch, just hanging out, and I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna watch this. And I watched it, and I shit my pants like 4 times. And then I was like, I'm only watching New Japan from now on. So, some Ring of Honor, just a lot of New Japan. Some WWE, just I feel almost like it's like an obligation as a wrestling fan. Like, you know, sometimes you gotta watch it.
Yeah.
I'm not insanely crazy about it. I like NXT a lot better. And then I'm a huge fan of going back in time, watching some good 90s stuff, some good 80s. When I try to draw inspiration before, I would watch a lot of Shawn Michaels. Like, I got my selling, I think, from Shawn Michaels pretty easily. And, I don't know. It's been all over the place. A huge Ric Flair fan, so I'll watch anything with Ric Flair in it, which means I have 4 fucking decades to go through. But I don't know, I know that I didn't say much about it. What about you guys? Give me some recommendations here. Some inspiration.
Like you saying earlier, on the Fight Network, it's a Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. That's
I have seen some of that. Yeah, it's pretty fun actually. Yeah, good call.
I think that'd probably be more up your alley. That, you know, that California scene and, you know, ROH definitely is a very good product. I mean, I watch a lot of wrestling from, you know, a lot of AAA Mexican wrestling, so that's where
most of my Lucha Underground is. Also, I forgot to say that one. That made me think of that. Yeah, AAA is fun. I don't know it well, though. Have you ever tried to get into a promotion and you're just like, I don't know where to fucking start? Like, how far do I need to go back? Like, who's this guy? Ah, fuck this. Like, I'm confused.
Right, and that's what I had mentioned when we did our review of Rocky Mountain Pro, that even though we started at technically episode 2, you know, we did do episode 1 with Matt and Vince, you know, explaining about RMP and the transition from NRW to RMP, that when you go in, even though we were episode 2, but if you just happen to, like, you know, say, you know, when we're recording this is Wednesday, and I believe episode 10 premieres tonight on Fight TV, mm-hmm. you get a good recap. They go, well, last week on Charge, and so you can kind of get an idea of what happened last week and what may be happening this particular week. And so that's one good thing that I really look forward to watching. Well, RMP, you know, this is probably the 3rd or 4th time, you know, I'm watching each episode live, and then originally with Realm, and now with a Fight again. So it's always nice to get that little wrap up from the promotions. And I give, when we review other promotions on Fight, that I love that it's easy to go, okay, well, we didn't start at episode 1 and get caught up. We're at episode 4 or 5 or whatever, but I kind of get an idea of what's happening with the storylines and why these two people have a battle or promoing against each other or things of that nature. So that's always the great thing that I think every promotion should take note of, that this is how it's done, because it's impossible for somebody to just pick up at the beginning and get caught up, especially if a promotion's been around for a long time.
Yeah, you nailed it, dude. So we were in the dark for how things were going to be done for the most part, and not like in a malicious way, just there's no reason to tell us, we'll see it eventually, you know, kind of thing. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's awesome, because I'm actually a huge like Dragon Ball fan. I don't know if you guys ever watched Dragon Ball, but they do that, like, before each episode, like, they summarize what's been happening. So even if you're just coming in, you have a good sense of what's going on, because they give a shit about the viewer, like. And I've always loved that stuff. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's just like Dragon Ball. Thank God. Like, now, you know, even if you're coming in on episode 10, cool, you saw me lose my belt. And you saw it's Tyler's fault. So you can just start from here. And you know what happens. So, awesome. So, yeah, thanks for calling that out. It's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Yeah, so, because looks like we're, you know, gonna start slowly wrapping this up, Curtis. Tell us how we can find you. What's your gamer tag and all that good stuff? If you want to give that out.
Oh boy, Don't laugh at me. Don't.
Oh man, I get it.
I think I might know what it is, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know what it is. So there are no spaces in this, okay? I love Hulk Hogan. All right? Fuck you for making me say that out loud, by the way.
Well, you could have made up something.
Right now, I know, I should have just said something like, just lied.
Yeah.
I've been using that one for years. That was before I became a wrestler. That's my tag. Right now I'm just playing on the PlayStation Network. I used to play a lot of PC games and Xbox and stuff, but Street Fighter V moved to the PlayStation exclusively. I'm a massive Street Fighter fan. I've been playing it for 10 years. I go to tournaments. I've won money. Like, build my own fight sticks. Again, I think that's why I like Kenny Omega so much. The guy's just obsessed with Street Fighter and Mega Man and wrestling. Like, that's... We get along really well. So there's that on Twitter. It's at Killer Kurt Cole.
Killer?
Killer Kurt. In college days, we used to make a lot of, like, little shitty movies and edit them together and stuff. They're fucking horrible. But one of them we made was called Killer Kurt. And it was about my friend Kurt. And he killed people. I don't know. That's where I got that from. Don't laugh at me. Come on, man. But and besides that, that's just Facebook for right now. Those are the only social media platforms I'm on.
Okay.
And if they wanted to check you out live and watch you wrestle, where would they find you?
Oh my goodness. Oh, you've done this before, huh, bud? Okay.
Well, I think we're like 30 some episodes in, so
that's a good save. Thank
getting
you.
Used to it.
Right? So we're with Rocky Mountain Pro. If you are in the Denver, Colorado area, you can find us in Golden, Colorado, right outside of the city at the Quarry. We do shows there twice a month, maybe, and then we do some other shows also. You can check the Rocky Mountain Pro Twitter or Facebook or just normal website and get all the times and information, or the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy. If you've ever wanted to try to become a wrestler, that's the place to go. If I can fucking do this, anybody can, because I am the dumbest fucking person on the planet.
And this Friday, are you wrestling?
Oh, some bitch. Oh, man. Why? Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm running off like 2 hours of sleep. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
This Friday.
That's understandable.
Doors open at 9:30 at the Rack House Brewery and Pub right on Blake Street in Denver, Colorado, right in the middle of the city. These Rack House shows are fun because we get a little bit more violent. There's a lot of cussing. There's beer. You might even get to take a girl home. I don't know. But, shows are insanely fun. Last time we were there, you saw it. Hoodie jumped off, what, like a fucking 15-foot tall forklift?
Yeah.
Oh, it's ridiculous, dude. He's an idiot. we're going to be there. And then 2 weeks from then, or no, yeah, 2 weeks from then, yep. On June 3rd, we'll be shooting the second session of episodes for Rocky Mountain Pro Charge, which you can also catch on YouTube right now for season one and get all caught up, just like Mr. Fourth Row's doing.
Yep.
And it's, I don't know, it's fun stuff. I'm not good at pitching this.
No.
Next time we do this, I need you to do it for me.
I'll send you a script.
Thank you. I appreciate it. When I wear my new t-shirts, you're getting one for free.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because I can't do this.
Well, Curtis, thank you very much for coming on to the show, and we greatly appreciate it. And if we get a hold of your tag team partner, and we'd like to have him on as well.
I know. I've seen the bastard in a couple days.
Yeah, I know. He's a kind of a really busy guy, and sometimes we just kind of miss connecting up with him. But yeah, we got to get the second half and see what he has to say about you as a partner.
Oh, it's nothing good. But absolutely, thank you.
Well, you know, you do imitate him, and they do say imitation is the serious form of flattery. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Curtis, for coming on. It was a joy and a good laugh here and there.
Oh, yeah, you guys are fucking awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, thank you once again. And we'll everybody check Curtis Cole out. Social media, Fight TV, YouTube, and everywhere else he can be found. So, all right. All right, Curtis, thank you once again.
Hey, thank you.
This is Ali Gatto, and you're listening to What's on Fight on the Trending Topics Network.
And there we have it. Thank you very much once again to Curtis Cole for coming on to the show. Our Brandly subs named Who's on Fight for What's on Fight. We greatly appreciate it. And once again, check him out on Twitter, social media, YouTube, Fight TV app. Definitely a fun guy to watch on all the great shows.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I like the fact that he's mentioning why did you pick him instead of Ali Gatto or something.
The world will never know.
Oh, man. But like I said, thanks again to Curtis. And looks like we're going to wrap this up. But before that, you could check out all the other great, fine, fantastic shows that we have here on the brand new Trending Topics Network. My show, my favorite show, is coming back very soon here at the end of the month. It is Lou Chat, where I chat all about Lucha Underground and even get to chat with some of the Lucha Underground stars on Lou Chat. We have European Uppercut, a European perspective of pro wrestling. We get Spanish Announce Table, slam your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. Sounds painful, so I don't know how much I want to learn from there.
We also have WrestleCast
Live. I almost did a tape time on accident.
The podcast that has a serious discussion about the non-serious world of professional wrestling.
Live.
We also have Wrestling Cheers and Hanging with Heavy, where Heavy Set interviews the members of the All Week in Wrestling Week in Review.
Yes, we get NFL Easy Picks. If you need to put in an NFL bet, talk to me. I'll put you a bet in a future in if you want to pick your over and unders on your teams winning or losing. I'll put a bet in for you. No problem. Yeah. Living in the gambling capital of the world, so I'm going to put some bets in pretty soon here for the futures because a lot of them are under, and I think a lot of teams are going to do a lot better this year. The CFL's picking up, so let's get into some CFL easy picks. We have some non wrestling shows you can also listen to with Squabble Box. I think that's coming to an end, right?
Yeah, I think they're on episode, at the time of this recording, I think they're on episode number 99 or 100. They've decided that's going to be the end point, is episode 100, and maybe transitioning to another show or something like that. But if you want to send some thank yous to them for their show, you can find them on Twitter. Send them a message. They would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, they have the Eurovision Showcase, the Tuts Experience, All Beer Inside. I want to talk about Pat's Blue Ribbon on that show, huh?
There you go. Get your stuff in. That's their saying.
We get, STFU, shut the fuck up. We get Odds On, which I got a hilarious story about, my co-host. I don't think we have time here to share, but I will. On one of our future episodes, I got a scenario that had happened that's outrageous. I don't even believe it myself. Ooh. And, select a cart. And so much, much, and more we have for you to listen to sometimes random shows just pop up because people want to do random podcasts here and there, especially me. I'll see a wrestler and go, hey, you want to do an interview? And we'll just drop a podcast. But
exactly, yeah.
Well, looks like I am done with the what's on, who's on fight with
Kurt. Who's on fight? Yep.
How about you?
I am good as well. So that's all we have to talk about on with Who's on Fight. So until next time, fight on.